From the shadows of the radio towers,
this is the Gay PHX Podcast.
Your weekly dose of real talk,
queer joy,
and community connection.
It's gonna be a good day, and everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
Howdy, Phoenix. What does it take to step into a title and carry a whole community with you? Today on the Gay PHX Podcast, we're diving into the stories behind the leather, the paws, and the pride. But first, how much fun did we have at the Pokeball this weekend? From the music, to the crowd, to the incredible costumes, you all brought the magic. And if you haven't already, head over to GayPHX.com. We've posted all the photos so you can relive every fabulous moment. But first, let's sit down with Dennis Daniels, reflecting on his title year as Mr. Anvil Phoenix 2024. Then we'll meet your new Mr. Anvil Phoenix 2025, Ben Calderon, as he steps into the spotlight with heart and purpose. And finally, it's Paws Out with Pup Skitch and Pup Lexi, who break down what's ahead at the Arizona Pup Title Contest happening May 3rd at Cobalt. Whether you're in leather or on all fours, or just here to learn, we're glad you're with us. Let's get into it.
You're listening to the Gay PHX Podcast,
where community comes first.
Hey, hey, Phoenix. It's time for another round of Brian's Hot 3, where I give you three of the coolest, quirkiest, or downright camp miss events coming up in the Valley. Let's get into it. Friday, April 25th, we have Curious Nature Night Magic. Let's start the weekend off with something a little strange, a little magical, and totally Phoenix. Curious Nature's first ever night market is happening from 6 to 7 at their shop on 7th Avenue. Same fun, no sun. They're bringing in vendors for a night of oddball finds, scientific wonders, and dark curiosities. We're talking taxidermy, skulls, insects, sea life, and exotic botanicals, plus cool humans and mysterious vibes. So if you like your shopping spooky and your nature curious, this one's for you. And on Saturday, April 26th, is the Newtown Awards at 9 p.m. Get ready, Glamazons, because it's time for the Newtown Awards. They're rolling out the red carpet for a night of celebration, sparkle, and Phoenix pride. Snap a pic in the red carpet photo booth. Win prizes for best red carpet look. Enjoy live performances and surprise guest presenters. All hosted with sass and class by the incomparable Robin Banks. And this year's category? Well, they are giving everything. Outstanding community partner, outstanding softball team, sexiest customer, sexiest Newtown boy, first lady of Newtown, first gentleman of Newtown, outstanding staff member, outstanding couple, most extraordinary customer, most fun event, outstanding entertainment host, and the big one, the spirit of Newtown. So come out, dress up, and cheer on your Newtown family. It's more than a party, it's a legacy. On Wednesday, April 30th, Liar Liar, storytelling at the Royal Kitchen plus cocktails. Ready to spot a lie in a room full of truth? Join Christopher Hooper and Carly Davis at the Royal Kitchen for Liar Liar, a storytelling event with a wicked twist. Seven storytellers share outrageous personal tales. Six of them are 100% true, but one is a lie. The audience votes at the end, and if you guess the lie, you win a prize. It starts at 7 and happens every last Wednesday of the month. So bring your BS radar and your friends, because this one's night of storytelling you won't forget. And that's your Brian's Hot 3. Want more events, more photos, and more fabulous in your life? Head to GayPHX.com. Bye.
Want all the details? Head over to GayPHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the Valley.
More stories, more voices, more pride.
You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
When you feel like you're different or no one understands you, it's not always easy to ask for help. But no matter what you're dealing with, confusion about your sexual orientation or gender, sadness or thoughts of suicide, you don't have to do it alone. I'm Daniel Radcliffe, and I believe that reaching out for help is the bravest thing a person can do. If you are struggling and need support, call the Trevor Lifeline at 1-866-488-7386. It's free and confidential, and trained counsellors are there to listen 24/7 without judgment. To learn more about the Trevor Project's life-saving work for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or questioning young people, go to thetrevorproject.org. Remember, you are never alone. You don't need to keep thoughts of suicide to yourself. There is help to be had, and there is nothing wrong with asking for it.
Another voice, another vibe, another reason we love this community.
Today, we're welcoming someone who brought heart, humility, and strength to the title of Mr. Anvil Phoenix 2024. Now, just 1 week after passing the sash, he's joining us to reflect on his journey, share some of the lessons he's learned, and talk about what's next. Welcome to the rainbow-tinted microphone, Dennis Daniels.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. Thank you very much.
It's so great to have you here.
Well, thanks. It's good to be here, obviously.
So, how's the past week been since stepping down?
Oh, wow. It's been more than a little interesting to, it feels good to have some of the pressure of the local stuff right now.
Right.
I'm glad that Ben has that honor right now. and I can focus on getting ready for IML. But this last week has been really about accepting my place and looking at what I have to do. Look at what I've done for the past year. Because when you're in it, you don't always have the opportunity to look back, right?
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, you're just one foot in front of the other, and you just keep
It's the next thing.
You're doing your job. You're doing your interests. You're, you know, taking care of the club. You're raising funds. You're, you know, attending the meetings.
Living life,
just in general, you know. So, it's been nice to just to have a sitting in the back seat for a change right now. And it's really nice to know that I feel like we passed it on in a great way and that we have more men here in Phoenix who can easily step up and take it to the next level, which is very exciting to me. It makes me feel like I did something right. I try to live my life by example in every which way that I possibly can. And I don't, I'm not a preaching kind of guy. I don't, you know, say this is how it should be done or whatever. I just try to live by example and let people make their own judgments about it and grab what they will and move that forward. So that's what feels really good about the depth that we had competing for Mr. Anvil this year. I think, you know, three out of the four were excellent, could have been excellent representatives from any of the three.
Yeah, you had really strong candidates. Yeah.
Well, when you break it down to think that there was 200 points available from each judge, and there were seven judges, so there was a total of 1,400 points available for each contestant, and that the top score was around 1275 out of a possible 1400.
Wow.
And then the top three were all within, I believe it was 25 points of each other.
Wow.
And the top two were 3 points away from each other out of 1400 points.
So it was that close between
it
the tops.
It was very close. And part of the exciting thing, I was like, why is tabulation taking so long? And now I found out, you know, they were trying to make sure they got it right. That
right.
everything was.
It was exactly so close like, that they had.
It was
to
so close they had
double,
to.
Triple check.
Yeah, you know, in case of an emergency, first runner up has to fulfill the duties.
Right,
but I don't think that'll be a problem.
No, I don't think so either. So, okay, looking back on your year, as you mentioned, what's a moment that you will carry on with you forever?
Oh wow. The moment I think that I'm going to take forever, I've been involved in competitions, personally since I was 2 years old.
Wow!
And having been in show business, part of it was every time I go for an audition, I'm, you know, selling my wares, you know,
right.
presenting myself. And I've trained and coached a lot of people who have won pageant titles, whether it be in the Miss America system or the Miss Universe system or the Miss Majorette of America system and Our Little Miss and Ideal Miss. I was involved with all these pageants.
Oh, you know, wow.
And trained a lot of people, but I had never been in one. So I found it, you know, I was doing it because I would find it interesting, and I was looking for something to focus on, and I know how to compete, so that was my challenge. What has surprised me was how important it was to other people, me having the title. That really surprised me. I guess I sort of take it for granted in some ways because I've been around so many title winners, but that is what really, really surprised me. Like I really had to take a back seat and go, okay, Daniels, you know, this is bigger than you think it is for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the biggest surprise.
Was how much it means to the community that you have such a great representative.
Yeah, I would assume that's what they were
right. Yes, I know you probably would not necessarily use those words, but that's what I'm saying.
Okay,
so you don't have to. But yes, because you are a great representative.
Oh, thank you.
You've got poise. You present yourself well. You know, you are a top notch contender.
For
IML in my book, because you carry everything that you need because of your knowledge and experience. So it makes sense. And so that's why it makes sense that the community is like, yes, in the same way that we want to show this community is an incredible community. It's got so much talent and it just needs people to be aware of it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And when you look at our community, not only what you do and what Brian does, but you look at what Matthew Moody is doing and the puppy community and what everybody's developing. That, you know, when I first moved here, it was COVID and all that goodness.
Right.
So everybody was isolated. So it's like everybody's gearing up again and everybody's moving forward and everybody's creating things for the community. And so I really didn't expect it to be as important to people as it was. And I've been amazed at how many people have come up to me, like when for Ben's celebration on Sunday afternoon last week, I didn't wear my sash, I didn't wear my medal, I didn't do anything because it was Ben's day and I wanted it to be Ben's day. But it was amazed at how many people came up to me and used my name and asked me how I felt about, you know, stepping down and asked me about IML and if I was excited to go. And it was really interesting to feel other people's excitement about what I was doing.
Right. Again, because you're a great representative, and now you're going up to the Nationals to represent us.
I'm going to the Inter-friggin' Nationals.
International, sorry, yes, sorry, yes,
I
yes,
don't know
yes.
if I can say...
Yes, you can.
Inter-functional.
Yes, you can, because it's a podcast. That's the best part.
Well, it, you know, I really am surprised by the attention and, you know... When you're putting one foot in front of the other, sometimes you don't absorb everything. But since I had a back seat at that moment, I was able to take things in differently.
Right. Yeah, you are now finally able to reflect.
Right.
Because it's not reflection, it's what's in front of me.
Right. Exactly.
And now that the current duties are not in front of you, different duties are in front of you, you get that moment to look back at what those past duties were and go, oh, okay.
Right.
This is what we did.
Right. And you know, the money we raised again for Mulligan's Manor and everything that took place this past weekend, and it was a busy weekend, I know.
Oh, my goodness. All of what, us 10 were, events? Is it 10 yeah. different events that were going on?
Started on Thursday evening and went right on through to Sunday afternoon.
I think we only hit half and we were exhausted. I can't imagine.
I know.
Nick and Mike, you know, shout out to both
of them.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know how they friggin' do it. I'm so amazed and impressed with them and what they've done for AML and for Mr. Phoenix and for the Anvil and, you know.
Well, the whole community. Yes. They put on a show. They put on a great show. It was phenomenal.
And the most exciting thing to me, as we had talked about before, about helping the community to heal within our ranks.
Right.
Having the pups and the boys and the bears and everybody having a table.
A presence.
Literally, yes. Having a table.
Yeah.
At our at the parking lot party at the Anvil on Saturday evening, I thought it was just amazing. And to have the puppy pit. And I mean, it was just, it was perfect. It was perfect that the community actually feels like it's coming together. And I'm even more excited for AWOL, for our sisters to, who are developing their club.
Yes.
To that they did such a great job with their raffle.
Yes. Very excited to have either Gabby or Lilith come on. We've made the connection. We're just waiting for the booking.
So. Oh, good. Oh, good. I'm. That'll be great interviews on every level. Yes. For sure. But yeah, that was the thing I was most excited about and proud of that the club achieved from last year's Mr. Anvil to this year's Mr. Anvil. And I thought the idea of doing it out the contest outdoors with our risers as our stage was exceptional. Again, it was beautiful.
It was great. Beautiful. It was the best presentation I've seen there for anything.
Right.
Yeah. Because it was just all spot on. Everything was lit well. You could hear people.
Exactly.
There was some seating and it there was walkway. It was just for the space that they had, they just turned it into an incredible little presentation.
Right. I want to give a shout out also to Robert, our MC, because I'm always amazed at what a great job he does with any event. But I thought he did a really good job. He felt like he had one little fumble and he felt like it ruined his whole thing. But I was like, hell no, it didn't ruin nothing. It was a moment and the rest of it was great.
Right. So, and we stumble, we get back up and we go on.
Exactly. You know? And if we don't make a big deal of it, usually others don't make a big deal out
right.
of it. You know, and it was not a big fumble
right.
whatsoever. But I felt bad that he was beating himself up. But he does
because
a great
he cares.
Job. Yes,
and
exactly.
That's why, you know?
Exactly.
It shows the depth of how much he cares because he's still upset that he would make a mistake.
Right. Right. Like that. But so. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So I was very proud. I was very proud to be a member of AML, let alone as Mr. Anvil. So I thought it was a great evening.
Well, we had a great time being the media partners. We love doing the live stream red carpet, I have to admit. I was completely terrified to do it. Thank you for coming out and talking and all the judges for coming out. That really made it much easier. I've watched it back a couple times. And I have to say, you know, I don't usually toot my horn, but I'm quite proud of myself for a one-man operation.
I think you did awesome. I kept peeking out because we had talked before. I said I would jump in if you needed something. And I kept peeking out. And you were just going to town. It was very great to see. You know, so yeah, I thought you did a great job on that.
Thank you. So, what was it like seeing Ben's name announced? Because you didn't know until the moment.
Oh,
right? Because it was all tallied.
We all knew it was close.
Right.
We all because we were all over the place. You know, we were. I have to say, one of the great things about this judging panel was they use what we call using the score sheet properly, where you really look at what are they asking of the contestant and what is my score match up with that. So we weren't throwing the contest one way or the other. They were all trying to do their best, and that's why it also made it so close, is because they used what was given to them to use properly. It was amazing. It was just thrilling to be a part of because we had no idea. None of us had any idea. Usually you will have a contestant or two that rises to the top, but three out of the four were really up there the whole time. So it was very unpredictable. But Ben was first runner up to me last year, And he has. We had so much fun last year. Adam competed last year as well. Blue was new, and so was Miss Honey Tea. But we had so much fun last year, and I hope, I don't know, I haven't gotten a chance to talk to Ben yet, but I'm hoping they had as much fun this year, because that's what made me the happiest about Ben winning, was that he was first runner-up last year, and he worked. He worked all year.
Right.
He worked with people all year because he really wanted to be Mr. Anvil. And so when somebody commits like that and does the work, it's just so exciting. It's just so exciting.
And it sounds like you said, was it 3 points?
Yeah, three points. 3 points separated out of 1,400 points, 3 points separated first place and first runner-up, which is nuts.
Yeah.
When if you're breaking it down to 100%, it's tenths of a point, maybe even hundredths.
The other thing, really cool thing, was that I felt like each contestant was different as far as they came from a different portion of the community, so to speak, and that's what I thought was just absolutely amazing.
Absolutely, that they were four
completely different.
Yeah. Completely different lifestyles within the community.
Right.
So, yeah, I thought the community was represented very well, and I love the fact that we had, Stitch, who is a puppy judge. Everybody on the judging panel also brought a different perspective, which is what made it so interesting with
right.
the four different contestants that
yes.
we had. Yeah, there wasn't a cookie cutter in the group, which was awesome.
Right. It was, I dare say, it was... the group of oddballs, which is perfect for me because that's where I fit in, is with the oddballs.
Welcome to my world.
Right?
That's why we're friends, Billy.
Exactly. So you haven't talked to Ben, so I assume you haven't given him any advice yet?
No, I have not, because the first couple weeks is about it settling in.
Right.
You really got to let it like soak in of what you've accomplished and what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have to speak to him because I need to get the sash to take it to IML. So I have to talk to him soon. But I understand. I think he's going to IML as well, which I think is a great, great opportunity so he can see what goes on with the competition. And I am happy to share any information with him because, again, I think he's going to do very well. Like I said, I think we have a depth in our local contest here that can
agree.
Compete.
Yes, I agree.
Matt Moody set the pace a couple years ago at being second runner up. And so my goal is to make top 20, and we'll
right.
see.
Well, he proved that we could do it here.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
If you could use the podcast to send a message to Ben when he listens to it with some advice, what would you send to him?
I would tell him... I would want him to practice his speaking in public because he got very excited and he spoke really quickly. So he just needs to slow that, get more comfortable with his speaking in public.
Right.
That will serve him really well going forward for IML, A. B, I'm going to recommend him that he absolutely be himself and bring his gifts to his year as title holder. He's not me. He's not Blue. He's not Miss Honey Tea. He's not Adam. He is Ben. And he needs to bring everything that he can bring to it. And that's what, and he has a great sense of humor. But that's what I would say to him, is really look at what he can bring to the local community to start with,
right?
And look forward to that IML and what he can polish even further about his presentation for going forward for next year.
Right. Yeah, I liked that at the victory party that he didn't just also make it about himself. He did make it about the rest of the contestants and how together that they were going to help move the community forward over the next year. And I was like, that is wonderful. That is beautiful. That's exactly what we need right now at this time.
That is exactly what we need at this time, is moving the community forward and building on what we've managed to do this past year.
Right.
But do it his way.
Right.
Do it his way with his resources and with his friends and his people. What he wants to be. He has that opportunity to make it what he wants it to be, like I did for myself.
And back to you. Ooh. What's next as far as IML? What the next few weeks? So you've had a week of calmness, and now
there is so much. I keep getting texts from Mike saying, "Is your application in? Is your application in?"
Well,
it's being worked on.
Okay,
it's being worked on. I still have 10 and a half days.
Okay.
So no, I wanted to really represent me. That's the thing that I'm. I don't want to bullshit. I don't want to exaggerate. I just want it to really represent who I am and what I want, who I want to be seen as, because they don't know me, right? So everything that I put on that application can be brought back to me in an interview. And so now everything that I put down, they have the right to question me about or talk about or do anything that they want with, and I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. But I want it to be the best it can be for myself. I'm just that way.
Right.
But so that's what I'm doing. I'm having some clothes made. I'm having some clothes refit. I've ordered things, a few little gizmos, because I hear that it's good to have a few tricks up your sleeve when you're on stage. And since I'm familiar with being on stage.
So are there going to be some surprises?
There are some surprises. Oh. There are some surprises happening already. But yeah, like for example, there's a gentleman who makes custom boots, and they're usually for Renaissance fairs.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I really wanted to pair those boots for a long time. And so I went to Rye and I said, please. And he made me this beautiful pair of boots with bone buttons and red highlights and everything. So I'm definitely using that for when we get to pick some personality. Since I'm a Pfister, I love the color. I've always liked the color red, but being a Pfister, it just goes with my brand,
right?
Shall we say?
Yes.
So yeah, so I'm having fun putting my different pieces together, and Matt has invited me to raid his closet because apparently his leather closet is like the size of my apartment.
Oh wow! Wow, I knew he was into it, but wow, okay,
yeah,
but he's got quite the collection.
Yeah, but he's been, I started really in the leather community when I left the biz. I was playing in it for a few years before, but because of my commitment to my job, I really was focusing on that and not so much the social aspects of the leather community. And once I left, I immediately joined GMSMA and became active in the community and raising money and doing sex education and going to the Eagle and doing safe sex and safe play education for them through GMSMA and got very involved from that point. So, but I was
and educate us, GSMA. Sorry.
Oh, gay. Male S&M Activists.
Oh, okay.
Is the organization. It's probably the biggest leather organization in the United States, and they have been activists since very early on after the Stonewall riots. They immediately took up the banner and really started being aggressive about making differences in our legislation and everything else to give us permission to be who we want to be.
Wow. I'd love to learn more about
consenting adults.
So,
yes. So, but Matt
started when he was very young.
Yes.
You know, into it. So he's already building, you know, he's gone through several different stages. You know, I was already 40 when I started. So it's right. Like, you know, I'm heading towards 69 very quickly. 2 weeks after IML, I'm going to be 69, which is a beautiful number.
Oh,
beautiful
yes. Age. What a wonderful birth year to be celebrating.
So just our paradigms on the community is different, and he is so engaged. He is so, it is part of his soul.
Yeah, you know? I actually want to get him on to talk about, because he has so much leather history knowledge that I've just, from when I get to hang out with him, I always learn a little bit, because he seems to somehow drop some sort of tidbit because someone asked something, and I'm like, I never knew that.
Right.
I need a leather history course.
Yeah, actually, somebody should sit their ass down, somebody who's still with us, and write down, really do a book on the history of the leather history and those activists and those people who have made a difference, have really put themselves out there.
Right.
Because so many people will not, you know, whether it was for AIDS research or the HIV community or the leather community, moving legislation forward for everybody who lives an alternative lifestyle, you know?
Right.
So I wish somebody would have, maybe it's supposed to be what I'm supposed to look up and do. I don't know. Maybe that's it.
Well, maybe that's a project that we work on together.
Ooh.
And we make it an audiobook.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's yeah. So, you know, we have the tools.
We have the tools. We do.
Yes.
It's a beautiful set of tools.
Thank you.
Yeah. So there you go. That's you know, I bring something different. I definitely bring a different perspective than Matthew brings.
Right.
I think the thing that I'm excited about IML, even having Eric and Earl Grey at our contest, you know, to have somebody who was in top 20 with Aaron and Earl Grey, who's competing with me this year as judges, it was fun to hang with them and hear their stories, because we're all bringing something different to this. And so none of us know, you know, what they're looking for and how it's going to go.
Right, because there's how many contestants?
Oh, somewhere, yeah, it's like between, like, I think last year was like 88, so we could be in the 90s this year. We'll see. But anyway, it's a big deal, and everybody has something unique to bring to it in a different perspective. So it's going to be everybody has a chance, as far as I'm concerned, so... I just want to be the best representation of me that I can. So there's how I look at it.
Well, and you know Phoenix is out to support you. So
oh, yes.
How can they follow your adventures as you move on towards IML?
Good question. Well, I'm creating a website for my own personal business, but I'm definitely going to be posting things on Facebook, and maybe even Instagram, maybe. I'm not sure yet. Or definitely Blue Sky. I'm going to start posting things so they can follow. And I'm going to put not everything online because I want to keep some things a surprise for the contest.
Of course.
But then, immediately following, like, Pecs right. and Personality.
Right. Like, after it airs.
Yes, after it airs.
It'll be available for replay.
Exactly. And I will be happy to share my experience at that point, like what I wore and maybe what I did a little bit and how I felt about.
Well, you're just going to have to come back after your journey.
I would be thrilled to come back and talk about the friendships. And you know, I have one of my good friends from Palm Springs is competing. He's Mr. Palm Springs Leather and Renee, and he's a young whippersnapper, and we definitely have a sibling-esque kind of relationship. We like to give each other grief. So I'm looking forward to being able to spend time with him and busting his balls while we're awesome. Playing at IML. and competing. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the whole thing.
Excellent. Well, Dennis, thank you again for joining us here. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, thank you, Billy. I appreciate you very much. And Gay Phoenix, thanks.
New episodes, local voices, big queer energy. Subscribe now to the Gay PHX podcast.
What's something nice a parent or teacher has said to you?
You're special.
I love you.
Make me smile.
Does a really good job.
How did that make you feel?
Like, I think that really helps my confidence.
It makes me just feel good.
Let's teach more love in our homes and classrooms. Visit parenting.org from Boystown to explore our vast library of resources backed by over 100 years of experience. For any age, any stage. Boystown.
This is what community sounds like.
From the moment the boots hit the stage to the final standing ovation, this year's Mr. Anvil Phoenix contest was a night to remember. And now we get to introduce you to the man who took the title, someone who's bringing heart, heat, and leadership to the leather scene right here in Phoenix. He's more than just a sash and a title. He's a voice for connection, community, and authenticity. Welcome to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone, your new Mr. Anvil Phoenix 2025, Ben Calderon.
Hello, hello.
All righty. So take us back to that moment when your name was called and the crowd cheered. What was going through your head when you realized that you were the new Mr. Anvil Phoenix?
Well, there's always that chance, you know, everybody kept telling me, yeah, you got this. You hope for the best, you prepare for the worst. And when my name was announced, I was, for lack of a better word, speechless. I was shocked that I actually had pulled it through this time around. And the feeling of ecstatic, just feeling ecstatic about the whole situation at that point.
Was there a moment in the competition where you thought, yeah, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be?
Well, I feel like after my interview with the judges at 1 o'clock on Saturday, after I interviewed with them, and just the feeling I got after I walked out of the room, I felt very confident in my answers. I felt like I had nailed it. You know, you can't get it 100% right at all times, but I felt like at that point in time that that's when I felt, okay, I think I've got this.
That was the moment that kind of sealed it. And you're like, okay, I feel like I'm in the top.
Yes.
Yeah. So what made you compete this year? Because this was your second time.
My second time, yes. This was definitely my second time going for the title. Just kind of watching everything. I figured I was like, okay, I gave it one more shot. So I just said, okay. I just dived in head first and said, filled out my contest application and submitted it to Arizona Men of Leather, and the rest is history.
And which part of the contest do you think pushed you the most? Was it the gear, the speech, the interviews, the standing on the stage?
I probably would say the interview process, the most part. I love my gear. I love my gear. I wear a lot of gear as often as I can. Unfortunately, here in Phoenix, it's not a very leather-friendly environment. But
3 months out of the year.
Internationally or nationally. 3 months out of the year, exactly. You have to take advantage of those 3 months of the year. You got that right. But, you know, for the most part, I think the speech, the questionnaires, you know, working with the public constantly, I'm always the one in control of the situation. But when you're somebody else is in control of your fate, somebody else is in control of your destiny at that point, okay, it's like that's up to them. It's all up to them and how they're going to score you, how they feel about you, and their interpretation of how you're coming across.
And now that the title is yours, what does being Mr. Anvil Phoenix mean to you personally and for the community that you represent?
Well, personally for me, it's a definitely a warm and fuzzy feeling. I never thought in a million years of attending IML, attending different events across the country, that I would ever hold a title such as Mr. Anvil Phoenix, and much less even at that point challenged to go to the international competition in 2026. And so definitely. Something that I never in a million years dreamed about. Somebody from coming from a small town in New Mexico, coming to Phoenix, you know, not having the resources a lot of the times to challenge myself into understanding the community, and just slowly but surely taking it all in, slowly but surely learning about everything. It just really it's gonna be a fun year. I look forward to working with the different clubs out there from the AWOL to the pups and handlers, of course with AML and whatever other clubs are out there. Definitely want to work with them, get some greater exposure for the leather communities. Again, you know, being that Phoenix is a desert city, trying to let people know that regardless of the situation, there is a leather lifestyle out here. Even though it's short lived for the 3 months of the year, we're out there 20, you know, we're out there 365. And just working with other communities, especially with AWOL, since they kind of went away for a little bit. And now that Gabby's trying to bring the club back, I definitely want to help her and help her build her membership basis on that as well.
Yes, we're looking forward to having Gabby on as well. So what are the values and message that you hope to bring forward during your title year?
Well, it's going to be filling those gaps in, filling the gaps in. There might be some cracks in the surface here and there. Nothing like a major fault line or anything, but just filling in that and being an ambassador for the not only for the leather community, but helping the leather the pup community, just helping them out and letting our voices be heard, making sure that we are being listened to, making sure that we are out there and people see us for who we are, that we're not just a fad, we're not just, you know, 50 Shades of Grey, that we do exist and we do have, there's a lot of heart behind what we do, and there's a lot of feeling and emotion behind what we do, and we want to make sure people understand it.
Yeah, the key thing that people seem to me to misunderstand about leather is that leather is about connection.
It is very much about connection and trust. It definitely is big on trust and connection, especially when you get into the sub and the domineering and the submissive sides of leather community. There is a lot of trust involved, and there's a lot of heart involved, and a lot of emotional and physical contact and values.
So has there ever been a time where you felt that you didn't belong in the leather space? And if so, what helped push you through that?
One of the stories that I did share during the event and during the four-day hurrah weekend that we had here in Phoenix was one of the first times that I really felt shunned by the community. And I can't really say it was the community, but one person could leave a bad taste in your mouth. I had gone to a leather bar, the country bar in Albuquerque, where I'm originally from. I was supposed to meet up with a gentleman who told me to wear my leather. So I geared up in my leather, went to the bar. And I was wearing, at the time, I very well remember I was wearing my Rubio pair of leather jeans, Rubio New York. And I walked in and I met him officially. And he kind of looked at me, he saw my leather jeans and said, "Oh, those are cheap." And I looked at him, I was like, well, number one, I knew they weren't cheap because they were $300-$400 at the point. You know, Rubio is now especially well known in the fetish community. And I kind of just looked at him and I kind of walked away. That did leave a very bad taste in my mouth for a while because I felt, is this what the rest of the community is going to be like? Being that I'm putting my foot forward and trying to get out there and meeting people, I kind of felt like that was the person to have of the big community, the big picture. And luckily, traveling through the country, to events like IML, MAL, I have met some great people, some very welcoming people, some authentic, genuine people out there. That it's not about the cheap leather. We all have to start somewhere. We all have to work to build up our collection. So, you know, we start off with Wilson's leather because it's less expensive leather, and then you build yourself up to the Robs, the Mr. S's, the Rubios, the Leather Man New York. And I found that out that guy was just, for lack of a better word, a jerk. Never talked to him again. Never heard from him again. But I was like, I wouldn't want to communicate myself. I wouldn't want to, be in touch with that type of person because that's not who I am.
Right. And also not representative of the community as a whole, obviously.
No, exactly. And once I did start doing the traveling, I saw that people weren't that way. People were judging you on your type of leather. Granted, you know, I have become a leather snob over the years. You know, I do have my higher end leathers, but I'm never going to go to someone and say, "Oh, I don't like your leather gear; it's too cheap." or I don't like the way you look. And instead, I always make sure that they're wearing it correctly. You know, saying, hey, make sure you wear the harness this way, or make sure, hey, your buckles are, or the harness are to the back. I never critique them as far as that. I just want to make sure that they know that the correct way to wear your gear is making sure that it's worn to an appropriate, you know, correctly. You know, and you know, whether it's, again, the least expensive piece of leather or a high end piece of leather, as long as it's worn correctly and you feel it good and you feel comfortable in it, that's all that matters.
So constructive criticism over just plain criticism.
Exactly.
So what's coming up for you for this next year as Mr. Anvil Phoenix? Any events, travel, or causes that you're especially excited about? Anything on the agenda already? Do you set the agenda?
I do. I haven't really sat down with Mike and Nick, the organizers of the contest yet. But it's probably going to happen in the next week or so. One of the things that I have done out there is Mr. Anvil Phoenix, this being his second year in existence, didn't have their own social media presence. Mr. Anvil Phoenix, the Arizona Man of Leather, the contest itself has a social media page. The bar, of course, Andrew Huzzle and the Arizona Men of Leather, but the person who has the title didn't have any socials out there. So I'm working on launching an Instagram and launching X and launching a Facebook page, so that I can communicate with other title holders across the country, so that the community can be in contact with me that way and see what I'm doing, you know, document my travels so that they can see, hey, I'm out there. I'm out there for you. I'm out there. I'm speaking on your behalf. If there's something you want me to focus on, please feel free to contact me. Let me know what your thought process is. And same thing, I spoke to my fellow contestants on Sunday after the contest our victory party, should I say. And I spoke to them and I go, hey, just because I won doesn't mean I'm not going to need you. I'm going to need you guys to be out there with me. We all have our agendas as to what we're achieving, and we can achieve them together. So I have spoken to Adam, Wayne, and Miss Honey T, and I told them, hey, we're going to work. If whatever we need to do to help each other out, let's do this. Let's be united and get out there. And you know, I want it this year, next year to do one of them three again if they decide to run or you know, have somebody else come to the forefront and take the title and go forth with what we build going into the future.
That's awesome. I like that. Encouraging them to continue to be a part of it and to participate for next year and go and win, potentially win just like you did. So
exactly. Last year I was first runner up. This year I won. So hey, you know, if I can do it, anybody can do it at this point.
That's a motto that I live by. If I can do it, anybody can do it.
So exactly, like Aaliyah said back in the day, if you're first you don't succeed, dust yourself off and try again,
right?
You know, and here we are.
Exactly. What do you hope people will remember about your title year?
What do I hope people will remember my title year? I really haven't really thought about that much, but I hope that my hope that I didn't let them down. I hope that I live up to what and I can't say everyone's going to have different expectations of what a title holder should be. It's not a pageantry. It's kind of an ambassador for the community. It's an ambassador for the state, and it's an ambassador for this. It's an ambassador for the city and the gay community. I just hope that they know that I'm there for them, and I just don't want to let them down. So I hope at the end of the day, when my title year is over in 12 months, that they say, hey, he gave it his all. He lived up to what he was going to help us do. He spoke for us. He helped us out. He got us this. He got us that. And that's what I'm hoping for, if anything.
And while you're still working on those social medias for the Mr. Anvil Phoenix title, how can people find you on the socials in the meantime?
Well, I actually have set the pages up, so that's, they're out there. I just had to put adding more pictures and adding stuff to it. So on Facebook, it's Mr. Phoenix, it's Mr. Anvil Phoenix. On Instagram, on an X, it's also Mr. Anvil Phoenix. And I also set up an email address, so if the community wants to get in touch with me, you know, if they want me to go to an event and help participate in an event, judge contest, I'm there for them. As long as schedule permits and as long as time permits, I'm more than happy to help them out. And again, I also set up an email address for that person, that issue as well. And that's basically MrAnvilPhoenix@gmail.com. So those are I've set them up. I'm just going to finish adding, you know, some pictures to it from the weekend events and stuff like that, and start communicating and start connecting people out there to these pages. So anybody that wants to join those socials, are more than welcome to do so. And then next year, when my title year is over, I will hand these pages over to the winner, and then they can continue building the archival. They can continue going off the archives and seeing what I did, and then they can continue building on that, and then make it their own.
Excellent. I love that. Ben, thank you for stepping up, showing up, and bringing so much heart to the title of Mr. Anvil Phoenix 2025. We can't wait to see how you lead, grow, and light up your year ahead.
Awesome. I look forward to working with the community. We'll look forward to working with you guys there at Gay Phoenix as well. If there's anything I can do to help you guys out or any promotions, hey, I'm asking the community the same thing. I've given you my socials. If you see me at the bars, don't fret. Don't get scared to say hi. I'm a normal guy out there just working for you guys and trying to get making sure that everybody knows that Phoenix is a force to be reckoned with.
Pride isn't just a weekend. It's a way of life on the Gay PHX podcast.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. Be the someone who gives their time. Be the someone who lends an ear. Be the someone who takes a step. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN, asking you to join the fight against sexual violence and volunteer in your community. Log on to RAIN.org, that's RAINN.org, to learn how you can be the someone.
This message brought to you by the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network and this station.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.
All right, y'all, it's time to wag those tails and open your minds, because we're diving into the corner of our community that's playful, powerful, and full of heart. Joining us today are two incredible pups from right here in Phoenix, Pup Stitch, the current AZ Puppy title holder, and Pup Lexi, a longtime community favorite, former contestant, and now the official promoter of the Arizona Puppy Contest. Welcome to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone, Stitch and Lexi. Welcome to the podcast. For someone who's never heard of pup play before, can you describe what it is and what it means to you personally? Let's start with Stitch.
So pup play is kind of a way to escape your kind of day-to-day stresses, the way I like to look at it. It's a way to not really worry about like taxes or rent. It's just kind of like live in the moment, hang out with your friends, kind of go to like a simpler mindset. And just kind of pretend to be a dog for a little bit.
And Lexi?
Well, thank you for having me. To me, pup play is really an escape from the real world. What Stitch said is pretty true to my experience. It's an escape. We don't have to worry about taxes. We don't have to worry about adult things. We can just role play as simple puppies whose lives are just focused on chasing toys and running in circles.
And is that what the term is for Headspace for the pup community?
Yeah, so Headspace is something that we call when somebody goes into a mindset where they say, I am embodying the pup.
Yeah, I like to think of it as something like yoga, like that mindfulness that people try to do. Like, I've never ever been able to connect with like yoga and like focusing that way, but I feel like that's probably very similar of where like I just kind of focus inward, bring out my inner side, and not really worry about everything else.
Is it fair to say that it's a yoga / meditation for someone with a hyper mind? And I say that because growing up, people told me, oh, just relax. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know what you're talking about. Just relax does not mean anything to me. My head runs at 100 miles an hour. It always runs that way.
Of course. Yeah, no, I understand that completely. It's never as simple as just take a couple deep breaths. You know, sometimes you just want to like run in circles or jump or, you know, do cartwheels and backflips. And that can be a relaxing thing. So, yeah, for some, it is pretty in line with finding a place that's meditative or relaxing or positive. It's really focused on bringing some positive elements into somebody's life. And, you know, if we have a lot of energy, we can pretend to be dogs and get it all out like that.
So how did you first kind of discover the pup community, and what drew you into it?
I'll start first. So I actually found the pup community about 10 years ago at Folsom Street Fair. If you're not sure what that is, it's kind of like a kink fetish event in San Francisco. And so I first saw a few pups there, and I was like, whatever that is, I'm attracted to it, and I want to know more. And so I just started, like, deep diving, found a bunch of stuff online, found pups to follow on Tumblr, and then Instagram, Twitter, all that other stuff. Traveled around a little bit, and then found a community here in Arizona, which was super welcoming and inclusive, and started to come into some events, and the rest is kind of history.
And when you did that exploration, did you live here in Arizona at the time? Did you live someplace else?
No, so I've moved around. I've lived in San Francisco. I lived in Ohio for a while, and I've found a home here in Arizona a few years ago. And so just kind of being aware of the different communities, because there's communities all across the world, but never really being brave enough to go out to one of them. But then finally getting invited out and just, you know, putting on my big boy collar and saying, I'll do it. And then just fell in love instantly.
Awesome. And Lexi, yourself?
I don't really remember what initially drew me to pup play, but I remember seeing it and engaging with it online at first. And it was kind of through me searching through all the hashtags on social media and all of the tagged posts that I found people in Arizona that also did pup play. So when I found that out, I got really excited and I thought I should go and hang out with these people. So that was my introduction to the leather bar and to pet play and largely to all the other kink that goes hand in hand with pup play.
And speaking of those kink, what are some of those kinks?
Oh, they could be different for everyone. Yeah, there's really no spread, right? Pup play and kink.
Is it like a la carte?
Indeed it is. Yeah, I say that pup play and kink go together like peanut butter and jelly. They complement each other very well, and a lot of people use pup play as a vehicle to explore that.
Interesting. And so then your pup names, do they reflect something about your personality, your journey? How did you come up with your pup name?
So I found my name again. So I've been a pup for a long time, but a lot of it was private in my own, like in my own space, in my own house, just kind of figuring out what I wanted to do. I feel like I really resonated a lot with Lilo and Stitch, which I am Stitch, with a person who didn't feel normal, didn't feel like included, didn't feel like at home with anything. And I think my whole goal was to find family, find friends, find acceptance. And I truly think I found that in pup play. And so I kind of just pay homage to it with my name.
Excellent. And Lexi?
So I'm a non-binary person, and my given name is really masculine. So when choosing my pup name, I wanted to pick something that didn't sound more masculine or feminine. I wanted to choose something that kind of spoke to my non-binary experience and left a bit of ambiguity. Excellent. In the air.
And, you know, I love doing these interviews because I it's great to see the community embracing who they want to be and getting a chance to get to know who people want to represent versus who we've been trained to show, if that makes sense.
I think that's the beauty of pet play, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's switch some directions to about the gear. Both of you have spoken about the emotional and community side of pup life, and a lot of people think it's just about gear. Is it a balance? Is it more than one than the other? Is it the gear doesn't matter as long as you're in the right? How do you figure all of that?
So gear is something that a lot of people are like attracted to. Again, like I said, when I saw it in Folsom for the first time, like, I was like, I love the gear. I love whatever that is. That's what I want to do. And so that was what like brought me into pup play. As I've gotten more into it, like people use that gear to kind of help put them in the headspace of like, I look like a dog or like human like dog. And so I can pretend to be. Sometimes like eventually, like I don't ever need gear to get into like my pup headspace. I can pull out Stitch whenever I want to. And just kind of hop on some mosh mats completely just as like my normal human looking self. So gear's not necessarily needed for anything. But some people do need it in the beginning or just to help with that headspace or accessing that side of themselves. So it's kind of both, to be honest.
So it sounds similar to the way I hear drag queens when they put drag on, how they feel empowered.
and that that's something that they use maybe as a crutch at first until they can completely embrace that personality so that they can turn it on and off without needing the gear for drag or for pop.
Yeah.
Same kind of.
I think it's a similar-ish aspect. Yeah.
Excellent.
I'm really glad you made that connection, because I say that, you know, when explaining pup play to somebody who might not have ever encountered it before, especially at the bars when I go out, one popular question that I get is, so what's this all about? And it's like, well, how much time
right.
do you have? So I say, you know, I say pet play is kind of like drag because it helps us recreate ourselves in a way that we want to exist. And Stitch is absolutely right that gear is incredibly helpful for connecting with that side of yourself, especially as somebody starting out. You might not know exactly what you're supposed to be doing. It's like, you know, you just get thrown up on stage and it's like, be a dog. It's like, whoa, I don't know what to do. But putting on a pup hood and seeing yourself in the mirror for the first time, one thing that sometimes my friends tell me, they say, I put my hood on, I saw myself in the mirror and I got chills. And that is how they unlock the puppy. So we have this adage that says, you know, you don't need gear to be a pup. Just like Stitch said, you can connect with your puppy side, no gear at all. But it certainly does help.
I can see that. It helps solidify the message to yourself as you like look in a mirror or at yourself. And yeah, it's very interesting. That's incredibly, I love that. Thank you. So, Stitch, you're the current AZ Puppy title holder. Can you tell us what that title represents and what goes into earning it?
Yeah. So, last year, I guess I would talk about how I got it first, and then I'll kind of tell, like, what I've done and, like, what it means to me. So last year, there was a competition where we tried to showcase different sides of our different sides of pup play, what it means to us, via like a panel interview, a on-stage performance, which shows what pup play means to you, some pop questions, kind of what your goals and platform are as a title holder. Going into what it actually means to me is more about like community focus. I really like to focus on the community's voice and what they are feeling, or if they're struggling with something, trying to be that leader or voice for them to try to help make change. Because I think a lot of people are afraid to step up or like be that focal person. And as the title holder, I think that's my responsibility to the community, making sure that all of their voices are heard within our own community so that way everyone can feel included.
On that note, Lexi, as the promoter of the Arizona Puppy Contest, how do you help bring people together to help make everyone feel included, so if they feel like they don't necessarily quote unquote fit the mold?
It's a great question. And I think there's a bunch of different ways that you can do that. One of the ways that I help people feel included in pup play spaces is by bringing a case of lonerhoods with me. And what we do is whenever there's an event, whether that's, you know, something in the park, something at a bar, something where we just mosh, and I'm there, I try to bring the lonerhoods with me so that if there's anybody there just trying it out, just wanting to see what it's all about, doesn't really know what's going on, but has a friend that's involved with the community, having those hoods and helping people, you know, try them on, navigate that space for the first time, see how they feel about it, that makes people feel like they're a part of something. And that's a really beautiful thing to watch.
That's awesome. That's really cool. So going back to people that are new to it, what actually happens at the pup title contest? And is it all performance-based? Is it interview style? Is it both? How does, when someone comes, what are they going to see?
So you're going to see all the things that you see when you think of a pageant. There's going to be an onstage question. There's going to be an interview, but that doesn't take place on stage. That takes place in the morning before. So you're going to have the interview in the morning. You're going to have an onstage question. There's going to be a fantasy performance. And gosh, well, there's two onstage questions, actually. One of them is kind of a serious one. One of them is kind of a silly one.
to showcase a little bit of personality. And we also give the contestants a chance to kind of talk about, you know, what their platform is and what they'd like to position themselves as within the contest. And of course, the award ceremony that comes at the end and throughout, there are raffle baskets that each contestant puts together to put towards the title holder's travel fund should they choose to pursue another title at a national or international level.
So there are national and international pup title levels. Again, I'm coming new to all this, so.
I can answer that one. Yes, there are. I just competed, 2 weekends ago, I guess now, at the International Title Holder Competition in Chicago.
Excellent. And how did you do?
I did not place, but that's okay. I really wanted to showcase what pup play meant to me and the style of pup play that I like to embody and show. And so I got to go on stage, show that off, and it was super rewarding just going there and just the people that messaged me afterwards that watched it around the globe or people in the audience just, you know, reaching out and talking to me and being like, that was really inspirational and really, really nice to see. Super rewarding just to show off what it really means to me.
That's awesome. That's really cool. And that was in Chicago, you said?
Yeah. Yeah. So they have different titles across the world. They have a European puppy and stuff like that. And so in ours, we had a couple from America, one from Spain. I'm just all kind of going for that title.
And what is that contest called?
The International Puppy and Trainer Competition.
So trainers compete too then?
Yeah, so they compete alongside the puppies vying for the handle of being a trainer.
Excellent. But the Arizona Puppy Contest is not about trainers, it's just about the puppies, correct?
Correct.
At the moment,
okay.
Yes.
Is it something you're looking to expand on?
Well, if there's a demand for a handler category, then that is absolutely something that we will implement in the future.
And is this the second year?
Correct. Yes, this is our second year.
What are your favorite kind of pup events? Moshes, social, or contests?
Moshes, hands down for me. I love it. It's the one thing that really connects me into my pup headspace. I can lose myself for like hours on the mats, just really just having fun in a separate headspace. So hands down, moshes for me.
I really enjoy moshing as well. But I find a lot of my life comes from social pup events where we're hanging out, talking, dancing, and, you know, maybe we mosh for a bit at that event, but we get to hang out and chat with each other for the most part.
What would you say to someone who's listening right now, who's curious but nervous about exploring the pup world?
Ooh.
I would say take it slow. It can be really overwhelming with, you know, like, especially here in Arizona, we have a lot of events and stuff like that. And I think focus on yourself and what you want to get out of it. If that's personal identity, if that's socialization, if it's just, you know, a fun night for a bar event, that's totally fine and valid too. But just kind of figure out what you want out of it and just kind of reflect on yourself.
That's really good advice, Stitch. I think I would echo the same thing and say that, you know, there's a million different ways to do puppy play. And there's a million different ways that you'll see puppy play being done on the internet. And so focusing on what you want, what's good for you, is something that'll take you far and make sure that you continue to enjoy pet play for a very long time. If I could also offer another piece of advice, I would say at first, don't be afraid to be a little cringe. Just embrace that part of yourself. I feel like everybody at one point who is involved with puppy play now was a little weird as a kid. So if you go back and you dial into that part of yourself and find out what brought you joy and just not being afraid to embrace that now, I think that's going to make this all a very enjoyable experience.
Yeah, I think that's a good piece of advice. I remember watching a video someone was doing of me moshing, and I was like, oh man, like I'm an adult on a mat on all fours looking super cringe, like, oh gosh. And I was like, but no, I was having fun and it was great and I vastly enjoyed it. So who cares? And I think that's something to just remember.
So in the same vein of dance like nobody's watching, have fun like nobody's watching, just enjoy.
Just enjoy.
And the Arizona Puppy Contest is Saturday, May 3rd at Cobalt Bar.
Correct. And we start at 1 p.m.
And how can people find you on the socials?
On Instagram, we can be found at AZ Puppy Weekend. And there's also a website where you can get more information and purchase tickets. That's www.azpuppyweekend.com.
And sorry, on the socials for each of you, so that people want to find you individually.
My Instagram is puplexi, spelled with two X's.
I'm on Instagram or Telegram if you have that, and it's pupstitch12.
Thank you so much for being a part of the show. I can't thank you enough for helping educate myself and our audience.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Pride lives here.
Powerful stories.
And all the color you can handle.
This is the Gay PHX Podcast.
A huge thank you to Dennis, Ben, Pupskitch, and Lexi for sharing their stories and stepping up for the community in ways that are bold, heartfelt, and unapologetically authentic. And if you're still glowing from this weekend's Pokeball, don't miss the photo gallery now up at gayphx.com. So many wild, creative, and beautiful moments to relive. And don't forget to mark your calendars for May 3rd. The Arizona Pup Title Contest is coming to Cobalt, and we'll be there cheering with tails wagging. For more interviews, events, and updates from the heart of Phoenix, visit gayphx.com. And don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. This is your community podcast, and your voice belongs here. We'll see you next time.
We're together, the sun is bright, and there's nowhere better than by your side.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX Podcast, because fabulous people deserve fabulous conversations.